The scripture reading is Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
My sermon today is titled, Speaking in Tongues. And the purpose of my sermon is to show from the Word of God what are tongues in the Bible. And what is the purpose of tongues? Let us turn in our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verse 11. Revelation 9, verse 11. The scripture reads, And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Don't worry today about the angel of the bottomless pit. We're not studying about him today. But what I do want to point out from this verse is it reads the Hebrew tongue, and later it says the Greek tongue. So from this verse, we see that Hebrew is a tongue and that Greek is a tongue. Now I want to take you to the book of Acts, chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1. Acts, chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Speaking of Jesus' disciples, the scripture reads in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now I want to skip ahead to verse 7. Verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? If you remember, the Galileans were known for not being very educated people at that time. Verse 8, And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Let's back up to verse 6. Notice what it says in verse 8. Hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. Verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own, what does it say? Language. So the Bible just laid it bare. What are tongues? Languages. Languages spoken by human beings. That's what tongues are in the Bible. The Bible just laid it bare. And as we saw from the book of Revelation, Hebrew is a tongue and Greek is a tongue. Hebrew is the language that the Old Testament was written in, and Greek is the language the New Testament was written in. So again, tongues in the Bible are simply languages. Again, languages spoken by human beings. In the same chapter, to Acts 2. Let's go back to verse 5. Now I'll talk about the purpose and the use of tongues. One thing we want to keep in mind, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Ghost is just as capable of giving human beings the gift of tongues as he was when he gave that gift to the disciples. Starting with verse 5, And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So this tells us why the disciples needed that gift. They don't know these people's languages. And they're going to declare to them the wonderful works of God. Verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we, every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes." That word proselytes means converts. Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So after the disciples had been up in the upper room praying, where they were with one accord, they received the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other languages. Why? Because there were men in Jerusalem that day. As the Bible says, from every nation under heaven. And the disciples didn't know their languages. So in order to declare to them the wonderful works of God, they needed to be capable of speaking to those people in their languages. They were able to fluently speak languages that they had never even heard before. Someone asked me not long ago a question about speaking in tongues. Some people believe that whenever a man spoke in tongues, in his mind he'd be speaking in his own language, but others would hear him in their languages. That's one view some people have of speaking in tongues. The other is that the Holy Ghost imparted them to them the knowledge of the other language, and they were able to speak it. Either way, I'm not going to give an answer which view is correct. I was not there in first century Jerusalem, so I don't know. Nonetheless, the Bible is crystal clear that the ability to speak in tongues refers to when the Holy Spirit gives people the ability to speak other languages. For instance, say God were to send someone from America to Russia, a missionary, and say he only knows English. Well, if he goes to Russia, he'll have to learn the Russian language. But at the same time, would it be a good thing if the Spirit gave him the ability to speak in the Russian language? Of course. Or if God sent someone from America to Germany who only knows English, he'd have to learn German. But at the same time, wouldn't it be good for him to desire the gift of tongues so he could fluently speak German by the power of the Holy Ghost? Of course. So that's what the gift of tongues, is, being able to speak in someone else's language so you can declare to them the wonderful works of God. But the Apostle Paul had to deal with an issue in the Corinthian church, talking about the practical use of tongues. As we can already see from the Bible, the gift of tongues is meant to be something practical, something that one can use to reach out to other souls. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start with verse 1. The Apostle Paul says to us, to the Corinthian church and to us, in 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." We'll stop right there for a moment. So Paul is going to talk here about spiritual gifts. We'll skip ahead. Let's go to verse 8. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit." So these are gifts from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives different men the power to do different things. Verse 10, "To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So again, we have already seen from the Bible, tongues are languages. So sometimes, some men are given the gift of divers. That means various kinds of tongues, various languages. Back then, for someone like Paul, that was a very good gift. He was a traveling missionary. And we'll see a little bit later, Paul had that gift. In the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, let's read verse 28. It reads, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." So there you have that again. So we see clearly, again, from Paul, that speaking in tongues is a gift from God, a gift from the Holy Spirit. Now stay where you are in Corinthians. I'm going to read something else to you that Paul says. He's also talking about spiritual gifts and what are they for. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And what I just read to you is Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Now, Paul tells us that spiritual gifts are for the perfecting of the saints and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Keep in mind, edifying means building up. We already saw from the book of Acts that tongues served that same purpose. People were edified that day. The church began to be built up. The church was being edified. So even tongues are to serve that purpose. As mentioned earlier today, I'm going to ask a question again. Where was Corinth? And even today, where is it? Thank you. Greece. So, what language did the Corinthians speak? Greek. But the Corinthian church was zealous of spiritual gifts. But for some reason, I don't know the reason, but for some reason they desired the gift of tongues. And Paul talks to them about that. Let's turn to chapter 14, same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll start with verse 39. When you read the book of 1 Corinthians, three chapters, 12, 13, and 14, all deal with spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy," meaning have a great desire, a burning desire to prophesy, "and forbid not to speak with tongues." So he's telling the Corinthians, greatly desire, covet to prophesy, but don't forbid the gift of tongues. Why does Paul say that to them? Let's back up in the same chapter, verses 18 and 19. Same chapter, verses 18 and 19. Paul says here, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all." Let's stop right there. So again, Paul tells us that speaking in tongues is a good gift. It's a good spiritual gift. And Paul even says, "I thank my God that I speak in more tongues than you do, in more languages." Again, Paul was a traveling missionary. That was a very good, very important gift for him to have. And today, if you're a traveling missionary and you travel to different countries, it would be good to pray for the gift of tongues. Continuing, verse 19, "Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." Let's stop right there. Five words is next to nothing. Nonetheless, he's saying it's better, it would be better to speak five words to the local church that the church knows and understands than to speak 10,000 words that they don't know, don't understand. So here's the situation that Paul was dealing with in Corinth. They desired the gift of tongues. Why? So they could speak different languages right there in the local church. That doesn't make any sense. Here we are in an English-speaking church in 21st century America. So what language is spoken here? English. If someone were to come into this church and start speaking a Slavic language, I don't know if we have anybody here who knows a Slavic language, but I know that most of us don't know any of them. But if someone were to come in and start speaking Russian, Macedonian, Bulgarian, Serbian, or Croatian, what sense would that make to us? None at all. Let's keep going. Paul talks more about that. Chapter 14, verse 2. Same chapter, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. True, only God knows what the man is saying. The other church members don't. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So keep in mind what tongues are. They're languages spoken by human beings. So an unknown tongue would be a language that the local church does not know. In the same chapter, let's read verse 9. So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. In other words, if you speak the church's language, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. 2 years ago, I went on my first trip outside the continent. I went to Brazil, and I got to speak at a series of meetings in the city of Vitoria, and I spoke at an institution near Rio de Janeiro. And in order for me to speak to the people, I needed to have an interpreter. I'm sure there are many of you here who have been to other countries speaking another language. And you know what it's like. You're in another country. You can't speak the language of those people. I remember I had to hang around with my friend because only he knew my language. And I'm walking the streets of Brazil. And it's like I'm there, but I'm not there. There are people there, yes, but I can't speak to them. So it's very important that if someone does speak in an unknown tongue, you have an interpreter. Paul mentioned already among the spiritual gifts, the interpretation of tongues. That's also a gift. It's important. Let's go back to chapter 12, same book, 1 Corinthians 12. And this time we'll start with verses 29 and 30. Paul asks them a question. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The implication is that the answer is no. He already said earlier that different men are given different spiritual gifts. Now it's back up to verse 7, same chapter. Paul says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the Holy Spirit gives different spiritual gifts to each man, as mentioned already. The Spirit gives to each man whatever gift it is the will of the Spirit for that man to have. And it's to profit withal. And Paul is telling the Corinthian church that it would not profit them if someone just starts speaking in a tongue the church doesn't know. It would not be profitable for the people or for that person's ministry. Because, again, they would not know what the person is saying. Now let's turn back to chapter 14. Now we have at least two people today here in this church who know Spanish. We used to have another Spanish-speaking brother who sometimes would make comments in Sabbath school, and at least one time since I've been out here, he gave the sermon. But in order for him to do that, what did he need? An interpreter, just like I needed when I was down in Brazil. I've even spoken at a Spanish-speaking church before. Same situation. I needed an interpreter. Otherwise, most of the people wouldn't have known. There were some people who knew English, but most didn't know it. They wouldn't have known what I was saying to them. Chapter 14, verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So, if he's going to speak in an unknown a language the church doesn't know, let him pray that he can tell them what he just said in their language. In the same chapter, verse 27, Paul gives further instruction. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Let's stop right there for a moment. I will say, personally, I find that I consider it enough when you have one language that needs to be interpreted. But nonetheless, Paul says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two. One or two people who speak in a different language. And at the most by three. In other words, have no more than three people speaking different languages. And that by course. In other words, let each person take his turn. And let one interpret. And of course, the interpreter is going to tell the church members in their own language what was being said. I know that may sound a little strange to us. As mentioned, we find, I believe I'm not alone. I believe we all find one language being enough when you need to have one unknown language being enough when you need to have an interpreter. But Paul says to them, no more than three, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So in other words, if a man comes into this church and only knows how to speak Spanish, or only knows how to speak French, or any other language not spoken in this particular church, if there's no one here to interpret, he would just have to sit down. Someone who speaks the church's language would have to speak. So Paul is very clear. He's talking about the practical use of the gift of tongues, speaking in other languages spoken by human beings. Paul is not in any way talking about nonsense or gibberish being spoken in the church. That would not be practical at all. That would not edify anyone. It does not build up the church of God. And as I think most of us, if not all of us, know, there are those out there who claim to have the gift of tongues. Yet they are not edifying anyone. They're only uttering, again, gibberish or nonsense. That spirit is not of God. Stay where you are in Corinthians again. I'll read to you what the Apostle John tells us. John says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, the context there is talking a warning against false prophets. But nonetheless, the principle applies to anyone. He says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. In like manner, Paul says to us, that was 1 John 4:1. Paul says to us, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. When you hold fast something, you remember it. You hold on to it. You don't let it go. But he said before saying, hold fast that which is good, prove all things. How do we try the spirits? How do we prove all things? I believe we all know the answer. Jesus says, search the scriptures. That's John 5:39. And I believe you all know this one. The prophet Isaiah tells us, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to what? This word. It is because there is no light in them. So we know from the word of God, those who claim they have the gift of tongues yet utter gibberish, something that means nothing, something that does not build up or edify the body of Christ, the church, we know that spirit is not of God. They do not have the biblical gift of speaking in tongues. In conclusion, let's read again from 1 Corinthians 14. We'll start with verse 12. Paul says, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." If the gift of tongues were going to be edifying, Paul would definitely have endorsed it. But in the Corinthian church, it would not have done so. If you're a traveling missionary, most definitely. But even today, whatever ability the Holy Ghost gives us, we should seek, or whatever spiritual gift he gives us, we should seek the spiritual gifts that are going to edify the body of Christ, build up the church, those that will be profitable for the ministry and for the church members. Let's read verse 33, same chapter. "For God is not the author of confusion." He's not the author of gibberish. "God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Verse 40, "Let all things be done decent and in order." Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us your Holy Scriptures, and we thank you so much for sending the Holy Ghost to comfort, guide, and teach us. And we pray that you will help us also to desire spiritual gifts, those which will edify the body of Christ, the church, and those which we can use to lead other souls to Jesus Christ. And we pray that you will be with us and keep us through the rest of this blessed Sabbath day. And we thank you so much for the angels guarding us. And we thank you again for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we thank you and praise you most of all for the great sacrifice of your Son, our dear Lord Jesus. In his precious name we pray, amen.